B-Pod Studios.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. We're back broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. And yesterday, a little day off, had a little stomach fizz, as they say. I needed a little, my grandmother used to have an upset stomach. You have a little brioche. There was this stuff they called, I don't know if they even make it anymore. It was like this seltzer stuff. You put it in water, you get a spoonful of it, and you put it from a jar into a big bowl, I mean, into a glass.
Is it like Alka-Seltzer?
It's on the same lines. I think it had like a lemony kind of twist to it. Brioche. I don't think they make it anymore. But anyway, I needed that yesterday. But I'm back today, and a lot of stuff to talk about. You get the Super Bowl coming up. We start zeroing in on the Super Bowl in a fun way. Not that any of us are engaged in the Super Bowl, because we're really not. But we'll figure out a way mix that in today. Sixers win, Flyers win yesterday. 1-0 shutout by Stolarz goalie. Man, look at this. Flyers have won 5 in a row. Barnstorming, making a run to the playoffs here. Meanwhile, the Sixers, the least respected good team in the city. they're not respected within the city. The city is always complaining about the Sixers. We didn't complain much about the Eagles this year. We're not complaining about the Flyers at all because we think it's a lost season. We complain a little about the Phillies, but we complain mostly about the Sixers, even though they win last night. And we get into ridiculous arguments about Ben Simmons needs to be traded and you can't move forward and all that stuff. I want to explore all that stuff today. I want to get deep with the people on why they would want to trade a guy like Ben Simmons when you have a gift like that. And why we always complain about the Sixers. As far as I can see, Tyrone, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they're kind of like ahead of the pace. Are they not ahead of the pace? Is their record right now like better than it was last year at this time?
Significantly better than last year. And people will say, oh, but they had a 16-game winning streak. They don't need that this year to have a great record. And after they get through this tough 12-game stretch, and by the way, they're 4-2 halfway through the 12. So 4-2 through 6 of the 12. They're going to start playing a lot of those same donkey teams again.
I got to be honest with you. I'm guilty of bitching and moaning. I am. I'm guilty of bitching and moaning. I want things to be perfect. I want a team that I think can win the East. And right now, I think they may be a little more viable than I think. I don't know. Maybe they're more viable than we all think. I mean, that first period yesterday, I know the Lakers were shorthanded, but man, they were cooking. That first period was like machine-like what they did last night. I don't know if people watched the whole game, but they were damn impressive last night at winning that game. And they're 4-2 through this stretch. So why are we complaining? Now let's get to the crux of why we're complaining about the Sixers. What is it? What is it about Ben Simmons in particular that makes people complain about him? Can you have a theory on this, Tyrone?
Yeah.
What is it?
I think it's an unintended consequence of the process a little bit, in that people stop watching the Sixers as much, and they start watching other teams.
Yeah.
And the team that emerges during the process is the Warriors team.
Uh-huh.
And the Warriors are built on a lot of things, ball movement, but really what people's eyes go to is the shooting. And they see Curry, and they see Thompson, they see all these bombs-away shooters, and they decide, if you don't do that, you can't play. And people now equate Ben's lack of shooting into him not being a good player, because we've equated only shooting with being good. That's why people love Bellinelli and Ilyasova, even though they hurt you in the playoffs, because all they did was shoot.
You know, I feel the same way about his shooting. I don't understand it. I hope it gets there eventually. I'm not sure I can say that it's going to get there eventually. It isn't it, the only thing. Like I watch the kid's brilliance from game to game, and I go, like, how do you not take inventory of that? The whole game, and instead you focus on like where he gets caught up in the air and turns it over. And I see that. It happens. He turns it over like 6-7 times a game. I get it. But of the 6-7 times he turns it over, he'll make, like, how many great plays did he make during the course of a game? 35? You know? So I'm curious. But you know what? People that complain about that have it in for a kid in a certain way. You know? Because you wouldn't notice. Like, you don't notice. J.J. Redick can't guard your sister's aunt. Right? But nobody ever complains about J.J. ever. Because he can make a jump shot, right? Ben, every little thing is scrutinized. Like, you would never scrutinize guys like J.J. Redick or even Jimmy Butler, who makes some mistakes out there. Nobody scrutinizes him. They scrutinize Embiid a little bit more because, I don't know. I think we're trying to get as much juice out of these two stars because when we look at this team, we go, you know, they're not, their supporting cast is not good enough. So we have to rely on those guys doing more. And maybe it's something as simple as that. So we'll get into that. Today I thought we would do some of, I was trolling Martinez through Anthony at the end of his show about hockey and who the backup goalie is. Now everybody's excited they have a tandem of goalies. They've caught a hard, now Stolarz had a shutout last night, so he's the new flavor. And I started trolling him about how many games you could cut out of the regular season. This way you don't have to worry about like how many getting 30, 35 games out of a backup goalie. Stuff like that. It was intentionally trying to get under Martinez's skin because it works. Frankly, it works like clockwork. So I started coming up with like real goofy stuff. Like to help a goalie out, you would, for two periods, like you flip a coin, either it's two periods or it's one period, where the puck is actually smaller than a real puck, which makes it harder on a goalie. But then the goalie would get like a break for one period where it would be like a salad plate size, the puck. Right? I'm just messing around here because I've done that with hockey before. But I just started thinking about the other sports. What other preposterous stuff can you come up with that would make the sport like crazy but entertaining in a way? Like I came up with the NBA. Now, we've all played Papa Shot, right? When the first Papa Shots came out, they were stationary. Then it came out with the sophisticated Papa Shots where, you know, the rim would come forward and it would go backwards, right? So I thought, like, maybe for one period of a four-period NBA game, you'd have the backboard and the rim move, or it would shrink, or it would do something. Like,
oh my God.
What crazy stuff could you come up with to make a real sport kind of a video sport, you know, in real time?
Wow.
You know what I just thought of?
What'd you think of?
What if you know how we get on Brett Brown about his hockey style line changes?
Yeah.
What if those were legal? So you come up to court, you literally sub a guy out on the fly. Well, he jumps right on the court.
You do them pickup games all the time.
Right. So how about the NBA? And then you can sub. So if a guy can't play defense.
So hockey line changes without a stoppage.
Right. So Redick never has to play defense. He plays offense, runs off the court. A defensive player comes on.
I like it.
And then vice versa.
Let's focus on I'm changing basketball that way. Because, you know, people have heard me. Listen, I love all you hockey fans. I'm just trying to troll you because you're easy to troll. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like blood red meat around a tiger when it comes to. So, like, Anthony and I were talking before the show. Like, I always thought there should be the part of the ice that has thinner ice. Because when you we all didn't have money to rent rinks, so we would find a pond that was close to our house and it wouldn't freeze over. Like, now it's all frozen. You could skate. Mm-hmm. But like, it was just so cold out there that you couldn't last very long. So like indoor, you'd have the thin ice principle because we all took we took liberty with the ice, whether it was going to hold us or not. But you would actually know on an NHL surface that part is danger. That's thin ice. And if you get a guy and you check him in there, he cracks and he falls into water. And then Anthony took it a step further. He said you can put sharks in there that are just milling around.
I have a baseball one.
What
if instead of baseballs, you use golf balls?
Now, that would be interesting. For an inning?
Yeah. Could you imagine?
You would kill somebody, though.
Well, the element of surprise. Your head better be on a swivel.
The velocity of a golf ball, you would have no chance to get out of the way. Like, if you're the pitcher and it was hit to you, you'd be dead. We can't have death.
Well, that's why you got a pop-up.
It's going to be short of death. You know?
You wanted to make it interesting.
I want to make it interesting. We can focus on baseball. We'll make baseball more interesting.
One inning, though.
One inning. It would just be like one inning at a time.
Take the golf out. Maybe you throw a wiffle ball out there. But you still got to use your standard wood bat.
That ball's not going to go anywhere.
Hey.
Or how about this? One time an inning, you can use an exploding ball.
Yes.
You can use an exploding ball and throw it for a strike. And you would have to decipher whether it was just from the spin of the ball, whether you would lay off of that or whether you would swing at it.
See, I like that.
Well,
and then it explodes in the catcher's mitt if you take it.
And if you trick the guy on the exploding ball, it's automatic out.
Oh, yeah.
Like if he swings at the exploding ball and makes contact and
everywhere.
Dust comes out, he...
It's a stink bomb,
like,
too.
This is stupid, but it's funny to talk about. So we can throw it in. Because it is General Knowledge Wednesday today. All right? And General Knowledge, like last week, if you answer a General Knowledge question correctly today, you will win automatically. You don't have to qualify at all. You'll win a pair of tickets to the 2019 Philly Auto Show. February 2nd to the 10th. 700 vehicles, 9 days, all under one roof. There's nothing like it. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com. Here are our topics for today. It is the general knowledge category. It is things that are cold, since it's cold outside. It's 2000s movie co-stars. So I'm going to give you a pair of co-stars. You got to tell me what the movie is. And a lot of them are series movies. And the fourth one will be Singers by Spouses. I'm going to give you the spouse. You got to give me the singer. All right? We'll have some fun. And if you get one correct, you're going to the auto show. It's cool. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It's the Mike Misnelli Show. It's 97.5, the Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's 2:19 on the Mike Misnelli Show, and the 2 o'clock hour is sponsored, as it always is, by the great people at Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention, HVAC contractors, just visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philly. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job just right there. All right, let's start a little Twitter poll action. For today, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons from Snowblowers. Are we going to need a snowblower? This cold weather is not... We haven't had any snow yet. What's going on? Anyway, you got a snowblower, don't worry about the snow. And you get it at Paul B. Moyer and Sons. They also have generators and small engines. They're going to keep you going this winter. Miss Natalie Eganoff. Hi, Nat. How are you?
Hi, Mike. Good. How are you?
I'm feeling better.
Good.
Thank you.
So this is off of the topic, you know, about changing some rules. Let's have fun. Which sport would be the best to add crazy rules to, for example, exploding ball and baseball? 20% saying football, 33% saying hockey, 33% going baseball, and only 14% would like to add something crazy to basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So wait, does that mean that basketball is the most stable sport that we have?
Maybe, or I guess maybe there's not really much creativity.
What would we do in football? Like, I couldn't think of anything football-wise to do.
Someone commented, Nick Spadano, and said football would be and be able to body slam the refs.
One body slam. Like, you get one body slam that you can do per game. You know what would be funny in a game? So, obviously, you have Nick Foles and Drew Brees come out. Once a season, regular season or playoffs, you can have steady quarterback. So, Breeze, you got to play for the Eagles, too, once a season. And if you play poorly, and if he throws picks, though, somehow you make it to where he can't. You have to punish him if he plays badly.
This show has the capabilities of going off the rails completely, being ridiculous. How about this one? What was the first video game for football? I forget what it was called, but you remember you used to move the dots?
I know what you're talking about.
You used to like move the dots down the field, and it was like Frogger.
It was like the handheld game.
It was a handheld game, like Frogger, whatever mm-hmm. it was called. I can't remember what it's called. You get somebody to operate. They operate, and the player would be wired up and would move exactly to where the pad moves.
Also, like remote control players.
Yes, remote control players.
Oh no!
Try to get down to feel that one.
That would be great.
What was that game called?
Well, I don't. I remember my uncle had.
Was that before your time?
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, because my youngest was Atari. And then went right into Nintendo.
I'll look it up.
So after Atari came in television, right? Mattel in television?
That was crossover there.
It was a crossover with those two, right?
Yeah.
But I remember this game was just the handheld pad.
I know. My uncle had it. I just don't remember the name. I played when I was a little kid. Like, oh, this is cool because I was only used to Tecmo.
Yeah.
Ball.
All right. So listen, we want to talk about content today. We don't want to make this like... Let's do something stupid to existing professional sports. So if you're halfway intelligent, I would appreciate a call like that as well as we do General Knowledge Wednesday today. So let's start off with Sam in Lancaster. Sam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Sam?
Hey, so it's always, you know, just baffling to me how, you know, you have a majority of the fan base being hypercritical of Ben Simmons mm-hmm. and any trade talk, you know, with him as the number one pick, especially when you got somebody like Markel Fultz is the number one pick on the roster. And, mm-hmm. and you know, listening to the morning show and even the after the midday show, you know, I heard them kind of say how they don't even think Markel Fultz is in the back of the Sixers' mind right now, even coming to the trade deadline, you know, even as an option. And my question to you,
they don't think that the Sixers would trade him, or they just forget that he's there?
I guess they were saying that they just don't even know or think they could get anything for him. That he's just kind of a non-factor right now as far as moves, as far as anything. They're just like not thinking about him. And my question to you is, what do you think they're going to do with him? Because they need to do something. You know, this coming off season is the last year that we'll have that window mm-hmm. available to get two max guys along with Ben and Joel. And the only way that's possible is if Fultz's contract's off the roster.
It's a great question. It's a great question. Now, the question is, do you want to just give him away? And secondly, does another team think that he is worth including in the deal? I mean, I don't know the answers to that.
So I'm not saying I just want to give him away, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, what I want more is being able to get two max guys along with Ben and Jimmy, and that trumps everything.
I gotcha. I am right with you, but here's the thing. I think they're going to, like, if somebody asks for him as part of a sweet deal to get a big player, I think they'll trade him.
Okay.
I think they will.
If they don't get rid of him, what are the options? If they release him, will that still take away
the options? You know, if they don't trade him, they're going to just try to make it work. They're not going to just release him.
So they'll try and make it work, and then we won't have the money to sign two max guys to Ben Joel.
But if they make it work, he becomes a player. I don't know. I can't tell you what's going to happen with this dude at this point. I really don't, because he is out of sight, out of mind. I haven't thought about Markel Fultz in a really long time. I really haven't.
No.
I mean, I see him on the bench every now and then, and I try to, like, I resent it that he's on the bench, and I go, well... I don't know. The guy just doesn't seem to have any awareness of where he is. Like, he has no awareness of the disappointment that he has been and what people think of him. And I guess that's a great quality if you're not going to pay attention to what people think. But I kind of resent it. And I don't think he should be on the bench.
I agree with you. My guess is, the team and the teammates must think that him being there helps him. That's my guess. I agree with you. I don't like that he said, I only want players who want to play on the bench.
What's fair? Like he's a charity case right now, sort of.
In a way, it seems like.
So, like, where do pro players draw the line on that? You know, it's not like... like, they're like, it's the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, and they're volunteering their time to spend weekends with the kid, right? He's supposed to be a pro player. Where does the level of exasperation get to the point where we're not taking care of, we don't need to take care of him anymore? Enough is enough.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. This generation is a little different too, though. I don't think Barkley's generation or Dr. J's generation would have tolerated it at all. This generation does treat people differently.
Well, and like a guy like Jimmy Butler, like I can't imagine that he thinks benevolency when it comes to a guy like Fultz.
By all indications, he does, though. That's what's strange. Maybe there's things we don't know that they know. That's what my guess is. They know something we don't.
All right, that's fair enough. I guess I can't really comment because I don't know. Thomas and Brumo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, what's up, Mike? How you feeling?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, good. Good job, Tyrone, on yesterday's show. You know, filling in for you. And were you a game time decision today, or you knew you were coming in?
Well, thank you very much. I can't miss 2 days in a row. 2 days is like, yeah, it's a little too much.
Gotcha.
Then people start to think, well, what's he doing? He's just getting free time off. Sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it is.
But if I throw up on the air, it might be good. It's good television.
Yeah, it is snowing in Broomall. Little swirl. But, you know, I want to talk about the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have the Rams winning. I know, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you can't go against Tom Brady. But, you know, my opinion, I really don't like the Patriots. And, you know, just my thought on it, you know, from the Spygate and the Flategate and all that stuff. And, you know, them making the Super Bowl last year, they seem like they're always in it. You know, it'd be nice to have, you know, two teams that are new teams make it to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to see the same team make it.
So you would prevent the same team from making it from year to year? That's the alteration you would make?
Well, I don't want one team making the Super Bowl three, four years.
How would you prevent that?
I mean,
because then they'd be playing for nothing. Then they wouldn't be playing for, you know, like.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, they're not the team like they were before, Gronk. And it's shocking that they're in the Super Bowl, to be honest with me. You know, another year of Tom Brady. Gronk wasn't that good. They got a rookie running back. I just don't think
that's really rankling you. The New England thing is rankling you more than anything, isn't it? It's the Patriot thing that's rankling you. You wouldn't be saying this if it was another team.
No, it's more the Patriot thing. But, you know, I know you guys did a Twitter poll maybe Friday. You know, have a little bit of a change, like, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl, but are there more people out there that don't want the Patriots in it? Because I know a lot of people.
I get it. We'll try to work with that concept. Thomas, let me give you a general knowledge question.
Sure.
What is Mario and Luigi's occupation?
Plumber.
They're plumbers. Yes, it started off with an easy general knowledge question. So Thomas is going to the auto show.
Nice.
You hook up a nice car. So he said he doesn't want the same team going back to the Super Bowl three times straight. Two would be allowed the third time. What would you do to prevent that, Tyrone? You can't do it. Football's the least. You could do the least with football than any other sport.
You know what I would do? I would take, instead of the Pro Bowl, I would do your skills thing. Mm-hmm. I'd do that. I would have a game, though. The worst two teams would play each other, and the winner would get the first pick of the draft. Loser would have to fall to second. So I would have a game that meant a little something. And some years, that'd be a big deal. If Andrew Luck or, you know, a transcendent player is coming out, in another year might not be so good. But that's what I would do. I would have the worst two teams play a game to earn the first pick in the draft.
All right, how about, I'm trying to think of, like, the goal line situations where you have to break the plane. Can we have it like a cascading waterfall? So come down right at the goal line.
I was thinking,
they set those up in hotels.
You have to splash through that.
The problem is, where's the water coming from out the top? You got to get.
Maybe it would really
be hooked up with the big piping.
Yeah,
that, you know, that's the easiest part of it, because they could do that technologically. They have a big pipe like way
across,
and it just comes flying down at like lightning speed.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Cool visual.
Or what
the
if
problem
the...
is, what about a cold day? You're killing people. Getting pneumonia.
And the red zone would actually be heated.
Oh, heated.
There you go.
The red zone, because it would actually turn red.
Oh, yeah.
What if you had the kicker spin around like twice before he kicked the ball?
Oh, yeah.
Make him dizzy.
Dizzy kick.
Dizzy kick.
Dizzy kick.
Yes. It's worth more points.
Yes.
If you're down three, you can go for the win with the dizzy kick. It's worth four or more.
That's awesome.
Yes, the dizzy
that's
kick.
That's awesome.
Worth
that,
more
that,
points.
That would work.
That's a good one.
That's a real good one, the dizzy kicker. Let's go to Sean in Philadelphia. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Sean?
I'm first time calling.
Thanks, buddy.
I got two things.
Mm-hmm.
One with the Sixers.
Yep.
Why didn't they always not try to fill positions? It's always they're looking for a position. I see that Kyle Kuzma's, you know, he made it to be good in the Lakers with the Lakers. But they're not trying to make acquisitions like other teams. Is our scouting department suck, or what's going on?
Who's not trying to make acquisitions? The Sixers?
It seems like, yeah, but when they get them, it's either someone old or someone from another team opposed to somebody that fits our
But who's making acquisitions right now? Like, who? Nobody's doing it.
No, nobody. But
well, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's not that easy to do because you have salary cap ramifications. You have who's ever available. You have teams that don't want to get rid of players because they're still in the playoff hunt. It's not. You just can't click your fingers. Like, they're trying to make acquisitions. They know they're short in the bench.
Yeah, but it just seems like they always trying to fill a need opposed to going to get someone healthy or somebody, you know.
I don't know what you're like. Give me an example of that. They're always trying to fill a need. What does that mean?
Like, they get these players from other teams. They have a history of doing this, you know, trading players and you know, hoping that they'll work out opposed to other teams knowing. It's almost like, you know, the system that they're using to get players.
Well, give me an example. Give me an example. Because it's an easy thing. Like, it's like, who have they done that
like
to?
Like, they start off the season with Wesley. I like Chandler.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I like what's his name. But they knew that we had people hurt, and he was hoping that they'd come back and, you know, make a splash, and it didn't work out. You know, it just seemed like they need one more player. It just seemed like they need one more player.
Listen, Sean, you lost me completely. I don't know. I'm trying to, like, make it clear this up for me here. Who have they gotten rid of, and who have they gained just to fill a need? And who?
Jrue Holiday. You think we'd be looking for a guard now?
Well, they traded Jrue Holiday how many years ago?
Yeah, but I know. But do you think that we would be looking for a guard now?
Well, yes, they obviously need a guard right now. But
they could have built upon the good players that they have.
Well, but Jrue Holiday wasn't a good player when they had him. What was so good about him?
Yeah, but it's still, it seems like they're just trying to fill.
Yeah, Sean, I think you're tied up in some kind of concept that doesn't actually exist.
And they use
you. Know, you're not making it clear. All teams try to fill certain positions. That there's one guy maybe a two and a three, one guy's a three more than he's a four, stuff like that, to make your team more versatile so you can guard and defend other positions. Now, I don't know what he was talking about. The Sixers got caught in their bench. They didn't have any bench players. Now, I don't know how that happened. You have to go back and examine what they thought too much of a certain guy, or they couldn't acquire a certain guy. I mean, I don't know what it is. You just have to deal with what they are now.
Right. And as far as Jrue Holiday, that was what the Noel, but that also was part of Dario, and part of Dario led to getting Jimmy Butler. So those kind of moves happen. If you examine any team, you take this player, you move that player, you ended up with a star player.
Listen, Jrue Holiday, in the Sixers era of Jrue Holiday, they were mediocre. They just were. He wasn't that caliber of a player when they had him. They were all kind of the same type of Iguodala type of players. And you weren't going to go anywhere with that. So they had to mix it up. Now, as fate would have it, Jrue Holiday turned into a pretty good player. He turned into a better player than I ever thought he would be. Now, sometimes that happens, but you can't blame the Sixers because they couldn't stay pat at the time they had Jrue Holiday. They had to mix it up. They had to go to the process to get the Embiids and Simmonses of the world. Now you see, like, where would they be right now? They had Jrue Holiday, they had Michael Carter Williams, they had all these guys, and they didn't have Embiid and Simmons. Where would they be? Nowheresville.
They'd be the 7th or 8th seed.
Exactly. They'd be in Nowheresville. They'd be the Washington Wizards. Oh, see, that's sometimes it's fair to criticize. Sometimes it's unfair. I wasn't getting what he was explaining. But I didn't really know where he was going with that. Ian in Drexel Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Ian?
I got 4 ridiculous rule changes for you.
All right, go ahead.
Basketball. Add a second hoop 5 feet above the normal hoop, that's worth double.
Mm.
Hockey.
Mm.
Make the puck white.
That's like the Invisible Man playing.
Yeah, that would be pretty silly. Baseball.
Guys.
The beginning of every half inning, the first hitter gets to choose which direction to run around the bases. And that sets the direction for the rest of the half inning. Counterclockwise or clockwise.
That's not bad.
Finally, football. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
Football, when an other team gets a penalty on you, you can bank the penalty yards later at a time of your choosing.
Wow. I'll tell you what, that's pretty good, man. If I had an award, I'd give it to you, and that's pretty good. I like your crazy thinking. And now I'm going to reward you with a general knowledge question and see if you can go to the auto show.
All right, we'll see.
Here we go. Things that are cold.
Okay.
All right, if I give you method to quit smoking, your answer would be what?
Turkey.
Cold turkey is correct. Boom. I liked his...
all of those ideas.
All of his ideas. Now, the white puck would make it impossible to see.
Yeah.
Or everyone would just be like whacking at the ice.
The higher rim is good. I like the higher rim.
What's the movie where they go through life blindfolded?
That's Bird Box.
Bird Box. How about the goalie plays blindfolded for a period?
Mandatory.
He has to sense the puck.
That was a training mechanism.
The puck would have an electronic force field that would come out of it. He would be able to read the in the general area of where the puck is.
That was in a movie.
It was?
Minus the force field, but really? That was a training mechanism in the Mighty Ducks.
Is that right?
Yes, it was.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and when you add the blindfold, that reminds me when Jean-Claude Van Damme fought in Bloodsport with the salt. The guy threw salt in his eyes, had to fight. A death match.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Bloodsport.
So the goalie would be spectacular if he's stopping the puck blindfolded, just relying on electronic impulses.
They would all probably have to take karate classes.
Exactly. Now, my other preposterous goalie idea, because we were talking about today on the midday show, they were talking about backup goalies, how much should a backup goalie play? I would play both goalies. What? And it's called the ass-to-ass method.
So they're both sideways?
The goal would be open in the front and the back. One goalie would be guarding the back of the net, and the other goalie would be guarding the front of the net. So you can actually bank a shot off the backboard, and if you get it at the right angle, that goalie would have to make a save on that with just a little bit of vision. He would have a rear view mirror. And he would actually see where if the guy is shooting.
So that had to be up on the glass, and he had to look ahead.
No, we'd be here attached to his mask. And he'd have a little mirror, and he'd see if they're going to shoot it that way. And then he'd be able to be prepared if the puck comes off the backboard. And both goalies would play.
So now you need 3 goalies.
Right, you'd have to have one backup who sits out, but 2 play at the same time. And that's less wear on both of them. So they can play more games.
Yeah.
People are tuning in and go, this is the stupidest show I've ever heard. It might be, but it's funny. A little. 610-632-0975. He just hates hockey. That's why he does it. No, I'm not. I'm doing it with all sports here. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. It's NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, it's 2:46. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fan and NBC Sports Philly. Okay, so I'm wearing a tie today. Now, there's no other reason for this tie other than I taped a Super Bowl show this morning with the great Trey Thomas, of course, our morning man here at 97.5 The Fanatic, and that will air tonight on another station, as we like to say, since we're being broadcast on NBC Sports Philly, PHL 17. And it's on at 9 o'clock tonight. Ooh. And there's a replay at 11. It's called Sports Insider. So we go through, we analyze the game, and we get through all some betting information. So our fearless leader at NBC Sports Philly, Michelle Murray, the great Michelle Murray, mm-hmm. texts me and says, great tie. I get a text, great tie.
That's good.
And then another text comes in, and it says, dot, 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 for a christening.
Oh. Ooh.
She heard me. She heard me. Why would she intentionally stab me like that?
I know.
What's wrong with this tie?
Let me see it. I don't know if I noticed.
What, you didn't notice? What are you talking about? It's colorful.
I mean, I don't think I studied it. Maybe the past.
You didn't study it?
Maybe the.
What is wrong with you?
Maybe the pattern. Maybe the pattern
no,
is.
No, it happens to be a great tie. It's got a little plaid action going through it. It's a little different.
Maybe.
But this is a nice tie for a christening?
I mean, those
That's
are like.
That's not right.
They're kind of like pastels.
Yeah.
So you kind of. You wear pastels. But
it's got the blue in it of the shirt.
Yeah.
So the shirt makes the tie pop. That was the idea behind it.
I think it looks fine. I think it looks great.
I don't know, the sport coat blends in fine with the whole tie. But she took my spirits away from me.
I think she's just
poking the bear.
Yeah,
nice tie for a christening.
Think she's what is that? She's pulling your leg.
Yeah. Joshing you.
She's yanking your chain.
Yeah.
Maybe a little formal for TV. She says.
Oh.
She adds.
Oh, well, I didn't know she was
that extra. She adds to the hurt.
Maybe she's serious.
Well, I understand that we don't wear ties here for the TV show. It's a kind of informal sports talk show. But we have a soiree tonight.
We do.
Yeah.
So I came from the taping of this TV show, and then there's a soiree tonight, a company soiree. So it's like I can't get undressed and get redressed. So I figured I'd just keep it on.
Seems like it makes sense to me.
Doesn't make sense?
It's fine, Mike.
Oh, now you're patronizing me.
No, I'm not.
Because you don't like the tie.
That's not true.
I can tell. Because normally you would say it's a great tie. Instead, you go, I didn't notice it.
I haven't had time
to notice it. Tyrone, come on. What is she telling me?
That's not true.
Well, listen. I believe that she's just playing. But
no,
I also
I'm
believe
about Natalie.
Oh, Natalie! No, she hates the tie.
No, I don't.
she hates it. Now,
it's a fine tie. I'm indifferent.
It's a spectacular tie.
I'm indifferent. I don't feel either way about it.
But looking at my phone,
I'm sorry.
You probably shouldn't wear a tie tomorrow.
I'm not going to wear a tie tomorrow.
Don't do double tie.
No, I'm not going to wear a tie. This is the only reason I'm wearing a tie today is because of the circumstances.
I understand, but you can't let circumstances happen twice.
We always need to take you. Should I take the tie off? Here's the problem. I take the tie. I have makeup here.
Yeah.
So I take the tie off. The collar gets all makeup on it.
Yeah, I
I'm
know.
Like I'm kind of shackled here.
I think you're stuck with it for today, but you can't let it happen again tomorrow.
Give me a piece of paper. I'll cover it.
No. Would you want a giant American flag?
The lava lamp.
This is what we have around here. A lava lamp here.
Why is that in there?
Anthony needs to change the vibe. He gets really stressed out when people tweak him.
Is that what it is?
So he brings the lamp closer to him. It calms him. Apparently, he's a lava lamp guy.
That's what that's for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody has a thing. What you call it has a fidget spinner. His is a lava lamp.
Nice time for a christening. In nome di Padre, Spiritu Santi. Michael, do you announce Satan?
Meanwhile, people, Mo Green just caught one in the eye.
All right, let's go to Gene in West Philly. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
What's going on, Gene?
Listen, man, you're talking. This show is so ridiculous. I love every second of it. I haven't laughed this long. I've been talking to sports talk radio show in forever. But so I think it's funny. When it was, you already lost it. It went off the rails when you were giving Natalie grief for talking about the golf ball and baseball about 4.5 seconds after you were talking about sharks under the water on thin ice.
Well, see, that makes it dangerous. But, you know, well, I guess the shark can't. Now, these would be sharks that would be, like, their teeth would be removed.
That makes me feel a little bit better.
Okay, all right.
No, I got no substance in this call whatsoever. I just had three stupid ideas for your rule change. So basketball, one's sort of already been tried. They got to play a quarter on trampolines.
In basketball?
Basketball.
They actually had that. Do you remember the game that they started? Pat Croce started the game. It was a league. It was Pat Croce started it. I forget what it was called. Yes. And they would trampoline to their basket.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. That would be fun.
Slam ball. Yeah, it was slam ball was called. Yes.
Slam ball, yep. And I lasted every bit of 6 minutes.
Yeah, he got a TV contract for that league, too.
Yeah,
amazing.
I never watched it on TV.
Yep.
The second one is going to be football. Everybody's got to dress up in a quarter on both sides of the ball in those blow-up sumo wrestling outfits.
I like
and
it.
And then the last one's going to be one inning in baseball. Pick your inning. The batter and everybody on the field has to play with their opposite hands.
I love it. That would be awkward, too. That would, you see, but after a while, like kids would grow up, like, and they'd be really good at it within 5 years.
Ambidextrous.
I like it all, Gene. That's good thinking, man. That's outside the box craziness. You ready for a general knowledge question?
Go for it.
2000s movie co-stars. All right, well, I give you Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson. What movie am I talking about?
The only one I know about Daniel Radcliffe has to be Harry Potter.
It's Harry Potter. Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson. What was her name in it? Not Penelope. Was it Penelope? Something like that, wasn't it?
Wait, in Harry Potter?
Harry Potter series. Emma Watson.
With an eight.
Hermione.
Yeah.
Hermione Granger.
Hermione.
You know.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. 610-632-0975. All right, so far, suggestions. White puck, blindfolded goalie, ass-to-ass goalie, thin ice with sharks. I think we've covered hockey.
Yes.
Baseball, exploding ball, playing with the opposite hand for one inning.
You can pick the opposite way. Which I like.
Around the bases. And football, you have to, like, you'll be attached to the remote control, and it's that electronic game that where you move the lights down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And among other things, the waterfall at the goal line.
And banking penalty yards, so you can use them for later.
Okay. So, and basketball, I say, do the pop-a shot thing. The basket moves in, moves up. The moving basket for one quarter of a game.
Yep.
All right, so you have to adjust.
I like it.
That would be really good shit. Like, if you shot 40% in that league, you shoot.
That's right.
All right, it's the Mike Piscinelli Show. It's Nuts Day, General Knowledge Wednesday on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Like my time, Michelle?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.